16. There's a dynamic truth locked into a mystery that God held secret until he revealed it to the Apostle Paul. This mystery revealed, open to the believers, all those who got born again, a purposeful life, a life of fulfillment, unlike anything else available on the face of this planet. Now, many of you would say life could be fulfilling if they won a gold medal. There are people that strive very diligently and train and put in hours and hours and hours to compete. And they win that gold medal and their life is fulfilled. This is what they purposed. Others maybe were in the military and they served their country well and maybe won awards for saving their comrades in battle. What a fulfillment to have an experience to do something like that. Or heck, maybe you won the, what is it on television, The Voice, American Idol or something like that. You know, to win that, boy, wouldn't you feel fulfilled? And all of us think about what's our purpose in life. What am I going to get out of life? What is fulfilling to me? What makes me really complete? And what we're going to look at in God's Word is something greater than all these examples and many other examples I could share with you where you can experience fulfillment unlike anything else. Okay? And that's why we're going to the Word of Life, God's Word, to look at this. So, let's take a look here, chapter 16, verse 25, right here at the end of the book of Romans. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Now there's the King word establish, right? The old King English there. But here is some power. God is talking about a power to establish you according to my good news, my word, to be established and set, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. This revelation of the mystery would open up an understanding whereby they could be established by the Word of God and Jesus Christ. And this mystery was kept secret since when? Since the world began. God reveals a lot of things throughout His Word, but there is one mystery He did not share with anybody at any time. So there's got to be some impact there, right? There's got to be some importance to this mystery. But now, verse 26, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to some nations? All nations for the obedience of faith. Okay, we want to have faith, we want to believe, and this revelation, this revealing of the mystery was to be made available to all nations so that they could know the right way to believe. So let's go to 1 Corinthians, a few pages over. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 4. We're going to work this mystery a little bit. Chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. You know, in our times, it's all about how fancy we can say our words. You know, how well we can have our discourse and look good in our words and what we say, isn't it? But that wasn't what's making the point here. It was with what? Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It was the power of God in demonstration. That made the difference. Anybody can say anything that sounds great, but let me see the power, all right? Let me see the power of God in manifestation. You know, we saw a little bit of the power of God in manifestation already, didn't we, with the manifestations of Holy Spirit. To speak another language that you don't know? Bingo, bango, it's right there, and you're speaking this language? That's a miracle. It's phenomenal, and yet we can do that because of the power of Holy Spirit within. We can bring forth these messages we heard. Those were so fantastic, weren't they? And I know Shelly and those who gave it, Jeffrey and Patty, thank you. I got it, finally. And Trisha, Fonda, you know, I don't think they, you know, before fellowship, I wonder if Bob's going to call on me to give some manifestations. I think I'll write some nice little things to say. No, they didn't do that. The power of God within them, they was inspired, and they said what God had put on their heart to say. See, this is the power of God. That's what makes the difference. Verse 5, that your faith, your believing should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In the power of God. Boy, that makes the difference. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. The princes of this world is referring to Satan and the devil spirit world, the evil one. But we speak the wisdom of God in what? A mystery. We saw a little bit about that at the end of Romans, didn't we? And here is this great mystery that is being revealed. We speak the wisdom of God in this mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto what? Our glory. This great mystery that's going to be revealed that God kept secret. He told people a lot of great, wonderful things, but this one thing he did not reveal until now, as we read it in God's word. And it was for our glory. It was for us to be excited and blessed about, for us to just to shine forth because of the mystery revealed. Is that pretty big or what? It's huge. It's magnanimous or something like that. It's big. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew. Princes of this world being the devil spirit world. If the devil spirit, the evil ones, knew this, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Jesus Christ would not have been crucified. That's Christianity stands on Jesus Christ being crucified and God raising him from the dead. Wow! And if that didn't happen, oh, we wouldn't have the new birth realities. We would not have the Spirit of God, 9 manifestations all the time. Very critical. This mystery, isn't it? Oh my golly! That's why to understand the mystery in here is very valuable for us to know and then to apply in our life according to how God has designed it to be applied in our life. Wow, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Amazing, amazing. Well, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. You and I are born again of God's Spirit. If we confess the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart, believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You've got the Spirit of God within. Man, oh man, that's right. But the Spirit of God that... But now, Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Wow. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man and wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the spirit, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? Yeah, who's taught God? Nobody. But we have the mind of Christ. You know, the great reality of the mystery, or part of it, is in Colossians 1:27, right? 1:27, that is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's go to Ephesians, and we're going to see also that another aspect of this mystery, that it would be one body. One body. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. God had a purpose in life. And his purpose in life, or part of his purpose in life, was to make known unto us this mystery. Man, he had this secret, and he didn't want it. He couldn't tell anybody until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul and recorded in God's Word. And here it was to his good pleasure. You know, these are the things that God are delight in. The revealing of this great mystery. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one. Together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We've obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him. God's purpose. He purposed this revealing of the mystery, that you and I would have Christ in us. Oh my goodness. Who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. You and I are to the praise of his glory. We, in the manifestations, we heard that in part, right? Oh man, God loves us. He wants the best for us. Please come to me, because we're the praise of his glory. You know, so many people now just, when they think of God, they kind of, oh, wait a minute, God, he's seeing what I've done? Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. You know, they get a little apprehensive, right? And the more they think about the stuff they've been doing, they really get uptight and worried. But I tell you what, God doesn't look at us like that. He looks at us because we're the praise of his glory, because we've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. We've got to get our mind thinking what the Word of God says. And this is how God looks at us. You know, if you think God feels this favorably about you, do you not think you could go to him and ask him and get prayers answered, and he would be blessed to give and take care of our needs and heal us when we need it, etc., etc.? Sure. See, we've got to get this God attitude, you know, this Christ in us attitude, that we're to the praise of his glory. Wow. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship. Chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And the word unto should be upon. It's the Greek word epi. Upon good works. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, upon the good works that Jesus Christ did, which God hath before ordained or prepared, that we should do what in them? We should walk in them, that we can live them. You know, I thought, you know, in my life, I thought Christianity, if I got involved with church things, that life would be going to church on Sunday, sitting there for an hour or two, being nice that day, and then the other 6 days didn't matter, you know? Because Christianity is just kind of a one day out of 7 days. And that's what I thought. But I tell you what, there was a time in my life that I got God hungry. When I was 12 years old, I saw a program about Disneyland in the future, that they'd have cities underwater, and you know, this would be hundreds and hundreds of years later. And I realized as a 12-year-old, I wasn't going to be alive then. And that just cut me to the bone. I would not be alive then. And you know, as a kid, you don't think about the things of life, do you? You don't think about what matters, about having purpose. What can I do that would be fulfilling and that I could leave maybe a legacy when I do pass away? We don't think about that until we get a little older. Well, at that point in my life, that just bombed my brain big time. I cried all night. I was just devastated. Didn't tell my folks. Didn't say anything to them. I continued to, you know, just kind of live as a normal kid. But boy, in the depth of my heart, this hunger. Is there a God? Is there a relationship with Him? And so as I grew up, I searched and did different things. I wanted to have purpose in my life. You know, as I was in high school, I was into sports, obviously. Played football and basketball, having a great old time. Got into politics a little bit. I thought, you know, when I was a senior, I finally realized that maybe I should get outside of myself, because until that time, everything was about me, I, and myself. But then what about helping other people? Is there a cause that maybe I can feel good and get interested in, and as I grow up, that this might have fulfillment for me, that I would have some kind of a good purpose for living my life? So at that time, President Kennedy introduced the Peace Corps. I don't know if you are familiar with the Peace Corps or not. I think it still goes on, but you give like 2 years, you go through training, they send you to a foreign country, and you go there and dig wells or do any kind of different work to serve and help those people. I thought, what an honorable thing to do. My dad was a career military man for 30 years. He put his life on the line during World War II. He was overseas for 3 or 4 years. My brother was born, and my dad didn't see him until he was 2.5 years old. So I know what a dedication, you know, what a purpose he had to do those kind of things. And I grew up thinking, well, what could I do in my life that would have significance and purpose? Well, when I got into college, I got involved with a professor who was running for Congress. And I thought, politics, be a good politician or you know, help our government so that we can have a good country here and so forth and support the Constitution and those kind of things. And so, you know, I thought this would be a good purpose for my life. And I got involved in helping him run for Congress. He didn't win, but later on he became a U.S. Senator from that state. And then I met a guy when I was a sophomore. I was a president. When I was a sophomore, I was a president of the Young Republicans Club. This is how, you know, dedicated I was into what I thought would be fulfilling. And played basketball at East Carolina University. And this guy was recruited from Cleveland, Ohio, to play basketball. He was a guard, shooting guard. He and I worked perfectly because he liked to shoot the ball, and being a big guy, I would like to rebound the ball. And he didn't shoot very well, so I got a lot of easy points. So at that sophomore year, I got to know him. And he lived across, you know, we had a suite, and I had the one bedroom. I had a 6'10" roommate who couldn't dunk. I don't know where they got him from. That was a mistake. So across the hall was Tim. And he'd have these big old glasses on. And I'd go over there, he'd be reading the Bible. Well, what is this reading the Bible thing? And so as the year went on, we became good friends. And he introduced me to the greatness of God's Word. I came to a realization that this Bible, this Word of God was true. That it really was the Creator of the heavens and the earth, His communication for man to know Him, to live a life, to have purpose and fulfillment that you could really get involved with and be happy about and feel good about yourself. And so, boy, when I got into that, wow, it was tremendous. Just my whole life changed. You know, that summer I lived in North Carolina at the time. I had a lifeguard job at the pool, which was a great job. But I sacrificed it. I left, went to Ohio. My folks didn't like me doing this, but I was hungry. Went to Ohio, took this class, got born again, spoke in tongues, and my life was totally changed. And I'm sharing this with you because for me, I found a real, genuine purpose in life that made sense. I had a fulfillment that was all about God and knowing who He was and how I could fit into the family of God, the family of God. Let's go to chapter 12 in Romans, please. Chapter 12. Boy, you didn't know you'd get my life story, did you? Wow. There's probably things in there my wife didn't even know. I don't know. So I'm sorry. I said Romans 12. We need to look at Ephesians 4. I'm sorry. Then we'll go there. First things first. Part of the mystery is the one body of Christ. You see that in Ephesians, and I'm sorry I did not get into this very much. I didn't go to Colossians 1:27, but it does say it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is the revealing of the mystery. But look, before you read chapter 4, verse 6 of chapter 3 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. This was the revealing of the mystery in that everybody born again would be in the same body. At that time, you had Jews, Gentile, right? Jews and Gentiles, and that was it. But now, when you get born again, you're in one body. The Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Verse 9 of chapter 3, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which God from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things. So this is the mystery, the fellowship of the mystery, that it's one body. And here in chapter 4, it tells us how to walk the mystery, how to live the mystery, the exhortation for us to function with this knowledge. So verse 1, chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling. The vocation is the word calling wherewith you are called. That word you are called is the same word family as vocation. That word vocation is. So it really reads, you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called. God has called us to a family. And He's called each and every one of us to function within that family. And we do that, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness and with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep or to guard the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The emphasis here is one, 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 one. There's just one. There's not a thousand ways to heaven. There's not a hundred ways to get to God. There's one way, okay? And here we are to walk. We have been called. Everyone that's born again has been called. That's what the word says. And we are to walk worthy. So here we can have a purpose in our life. We can be fulfilled by walking worthy of our calling within the body of Christ. Verse 7 really hits on this. But, after all these ones, but unto every one of us, or a better translation, and some of you probably have this, but unto each one of us is given. Okay? So after all this oneness, now the individual is highlighted, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now, as I was working this, I looked in to Ken Petty's syllabus of a class he calls The Blessed Life, A Study of Ephesians. This is volume 2. And he shares this verse, and I'd like to share what he says. The words everyone mean each one. Weymouth renders them as each of us individually. Verse 7 sets in contrast each individual believer with the unity of the entire body in verse 3 through 6. MacDonald writes, the truth of the unity of the body of Christ has a twin truth, namely the diversity of its members. Each member has a particular role assigned. No two members are alike, and no two have exactly the same function. The part to be played by each one is assigned according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That is, he does it as he sees fit. Each one of us has an important part in the body. Hey, if you've been living your life up to now with kind of in trepidation of, you know, what is my purpose in life? What can I do to have fulfillment, to have a life that means something? You're in the body of Christ. You've got Christ in you. Now you can walk worthy of that calling. Here it is. You've got to know that God, if you're born again, that God wants you to function and do important things that only you can do in the body of Christ. You know, I mentioned to you about I thought Christianity was one day a week, you know? It's not. It's so wonderful. It's so great. It's 7 days a week, 24/7. And it's not a bummer. It's a great thing. The fellowship with God 24/7. Whew. And to have a purpose that only you have within the body of Christ, that as you function will bless that body. It'll just lift it up. It'll bless it. It'll make all the difference in the world to it. Now, Romans 12. Let's go to Romans 12. I want you to see this. And I believe God wanted this shared. I don't know, I'm doing a very good job with it, but I trust you see what the Word says. And that, you know, the heart here is that you could grab on to your life and have purpose, have fulfillment by doing what God's called you to do in the family of God. Okay, chapter 12, Romans, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, there's that one body, many members, and all members have not the same office. Another translation is functions. All members have not the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. We're in this together. But we each have a function. having then gifts or spiritual abilities differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith or your believing, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. See, these are examples of different things that people do within the body of Christ. And I look at these and I can think of people in this room that do all these different things. And we've all got to do our part, right? So this body can just grow and grow. And Christ will come back. Yay! Oh my goodness, yay. So let me share a little bit in here what Ken Petty has written about these verses here. In verse 4, the word office means function. The illustration from the physical body shows that all the members are part of the same body, physical body, but that there are different functions. The same is declared to be true of the body of Christ. We are many members of one body, but have different functions. Now let's go to 1 Peter. And we're going to close in this section of God's Word. You know, there's another verse I'm thinking of that as you're turning there to 1 Peter chapter 4. It says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3:9, that we are laborers together with God. There's just different verses, scriptures that reveal to us that God works with us and we work together with Him. All right, 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's look at verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And that gift is the Greek word charisma. And it's gifts, spiritual abilities. As every one of us have received these spiritual abilities, let's minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The church, the Christian church, was never designed for you to come to the Sunday school or to come to church, sit in your pews, sing the songs, read the verses, eat some Cheerios or food, and then go home, and that's it. The minister does all the work. This minister of music does their part, and you just sit there and smile and give some money. That's not it. Every one of us, all of you have a purpose in the body of Christ, and we are to function. We are to function and do that special thing that only we can do that makes a difference. It's a big deal. I hope you grasp this. And I'm sure many of you have understood this before, but my encouragement is for you to really grab hold of this thing and live it and be blessed and function, because this is what's really the most fun you could ever have in life. Is to move God's Word. God desires all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, doesn't He? All men saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Until that happens, or when that happens, Christ will come back for His family. Okay, the word gift is charisma. Since there is no definite article in the Greek, it should read a gift. The word minister is diakonio, the verb form of diakonia. Ministry, a minister. The New Revised Standard Version translates this verse like good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received. The Amplified Bible renders, as each of you have received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a glorious divine endowment, employ it for one another as befits good trustees of God's many-sided grace. faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. Boy, those Amplified Bible really stretches it out. Verse 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The expression oracles of God refers to the words of or sayings of God. The word ability is strength. Thus, the New Revised Standard Version reads, whoever speaks must do so as one speaking the very words of God. Whosoever serves must do so with the strength that God supplies, so that God may be glorified in all things through Jesus Christ. Whatever our service may be, it should bring glory not to ourselves, but to God. That's the ultimate aim of our service. Isn't that something? Man, that's what we want to do. We want to live our life to the fulfillment of how God has called us to function in the body of Christ. Well, I trust you get the point here. And, I sure love you. If there's anything I can do or any of us that serve in a capacity to support and help, encourage, let me know, let us know, so that we can function together, that we can see this word really reach out, that things can really get excited, people can come to a knowledge of the truth, get born again, and have the hope of Christ's return. Well, I sure love you. Thank you for putting up with me this morning. Looking forward to breaking salad with you. And we're going to have a great, great luncheon, I'm sure. So I'd like to close with prayer. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful to be in your family. Just to be in your family, Father, is quite a joy and privilege. But now to know that we have a purpose, that our lives mean something within the family of God. Every little aspect of what we do, Father, I know is so important. And I pray that each and every person realizes this and can see themselves functioning just with the great love of God in manifestation. So, Father, I pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 All right, God bless your heart.